bring a Messiah. And he eventually came and was born of a virgin. And how he journeyed this life being one of us and eventually dying on the cross and rising again, defeating death once and for all. And then he commissioned us and we began on our journey. And our journey started with firstly packing light. You know, when we go on a summer road trip, we tend to pack too much as if for an apocalypse. But we began by saying, pack light. God will provide along our life's journey. He will take care of us. All our snacks, he will take care of. All our drinks, he will take care of. The fuel we need to go on the journey, he will take care of it. Obviously, all of that is our spiritual journey of life. And as we hit the journey of life, we will hit some roadblocks, some jams along the way. I'm not talking about nice, sweet jam. I'm talking about traffic jams. And it's going to be hard. And we're going to be impatient. But in that journey, God calls us to trust him. To trust him. Even not just the traffic jam, but the detours of life. When you hear, go that way, and it may take longer than we anticipated. We have put in our GPS that we are going to take so long, and we're going to stop here, stop there, stop here, stop there. But as life would have it, it's going to be different than we anticipated it. And the details of life sometimes are shorter, but more times than not are not so short. It's two lanes back and forth, and it's gravel and potholes. Today I would have said, this is something I'll pick up next week. Today I would have said, as you go on this detour, which is longer than anticipated, you will run against a fellow traveler alongside the road whose hazard lights are on because they've got a puncture on the tire, or they've run out of fuel, or they've gone onto the ditch, or they've been hit by a deer. I was told that's how you put it in the insurance. You did not hit the deer hits you. Maybe as you drive along, you come across such a fellow traveler. Through your own detours of life, what do you do? What do you do when your fellow traveler on the same detour goes through the toughest of times? Do I drive on? I've got my own stuff here. I'm moving on. I don't have time for this. I'm already late. The GPS is telling me I'm going to be over an hour late. I move on. Or do I stop and help? Anyway, that's a conversation for next week. Gary and Kathy, could you please come up? Can you please come up? I've asked Gary and Kathy to share a testimony of their lives with God with us. And I know all of us, make your way up there, please. I know all of us will testify to this one fact, that God is good. Am I right? Oh, God is honestly good. And I titled this segment, Look What the Lord Has Done. And this is something that every time you wake up in the morning, every time you go to bed, you want to reflect on the day and say, look what the Lord has done. And then give him glory and praise. So I ask this beautiful couple to share with us what God has done in their lives. Please, go ahead. It's okay.
Good morning.
Morning.
Oh dear, they look back to you. So we've been on a journey. We just want to start by saying that God has led us here. Never in all our years combined would we have guessed we'd end up in a church like this. For those that we haven't been able to meet yet, we're Gary and Kathy. We really want to say thank you for welcoming us to this church family.
Amen.
We were raised in a religion that was not to be questioned. Every decision was made with the authoritative voice of man in our head, not the still small voice of God.
What do we wear? Where do we go? Decisions about hair, makeup, jewelry, all predetermined. If we wanted to be all in, we followed these guidelines. Although we have left the church, we still love and appreciate many of the people that we met with.
Kathy and I met in June of 89. We married exactly 4 months later. As encouraged, we had found each other within the church. But we knew God that God had led us to each other. And so many that we met agreed that ours was truly a match made in heaven. And to this day, we agree.
We've had a wonderful life together. Raised our three children in the country, and in our home, we had a Sunday church meeting and a Wednesday night Bible study in rotation with others. We were settled in our life and serving God with our heart, soul, strength, and mind. We felt very fortunate to grow up and be a part of the one and only true way, the only one that would lead to heaven.
We knew our Bibles pretty well, the laws, the Old Testament, the fulfillment in the New Testament. And we knew about the different ones. We knew about Cain and Abel, and we knew about Noah and Solomon and Daniel. And we knew about the Gospels and the Epistles.
We knew the stories and that they were all according to God's plan. But what we didn't know was about the grace of God. We did not understand that in Galatians 3, verse 1, where Paul says, "O ye foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" that he was pleading with the people to accept the free gift of salvation, not a salvation that had to be pursued by following lots of rules, not by works that was part of a system to try and do better every day, every week, every year. We did not realize Jesus had finished the work. We didn't have to do any more.
We knew the veil was rent in twain, but we didn't realize we could enter the holiest of holies without the parameters of our ministry. We prayed, but it was done in the manner and language we were taught, not knowing that all could come into the very presence of God. Without realizing it, we were limiting the power of God in our lives.
A few years ago, after many years, we began to notice some inconsistencies between what we were being taught and the scriptures. God gently began to open our eyes to see through different lenses. We're grateful to know that salvation comes first, and our works are simply the fruit of what God has already done in us.
As we read more, we realized a lot of our doctrine was questionable. This caused us to seek out God in desperation, and he met us on our journey and lifted our hearts in a very real way. The word of God started coming alive. Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 became unmistakably clear. Saved by the grace of God, not by works, lest any should boast.
Gary and I have been on a similar path, not at the same pace and not without hiccups, but always in the same direction towards God. We've learned we need to be led by the Spirit and not the commandments of man.
Hours have been spent in prayer, reading the Bible, pleading that God would show us his will, not as told by others. This became very clear in our minds, understanding that Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection was for all. Jesus, at 33 years of age, made the ultimate sacrifice, dying on the cross. God showed us in a fresh way the perfection of Jesus. No matter how hard we tried, our own righteousness is as filthy rags, Isaiah 64 and 6. Our testimonies and prayers that we shared twice a week always showed how much we failed.
After years of confessing to be the children of God, doing all we could to be found worthy, imagine our relief that through Jesus only the burden was lifted. The work was finished on the cross, and now we can be found worthy, and we have found great peace in that.
Nothing matters but salvation is a hymn we sang in our church. We can now sing it from our hearts with praise and glory for all that he has done for us. Visiting other churches after everything we were told about them was very intimidating. To leave the path that we'd always believed was the only way to heaven, knowing that every other path or church was led by Satan, took a lot of soul searching.
We actually wondered if lightning would strike as we discovered and entered some of these new churches. But no, God was leading us. We found kind, warm, and welcoming Christians, ones that fully believe that God loves us and meets us where we are today. It has been a beautiful part of our journey to meet with you here, a journey led by the Spirit, drawing us closer to God. The fear that if we stumble, our salvation is at risk. From day to day, we can be assured of God's love, his faithfulness, and his care for us.
Another line of a hymn we've recently learned has resonated with us, and you people all know it. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. We pray that we'll always be responsive to that will of God. And in closing, we're not unique. We're just a couple on a journey and thankful for God for leading us on it this far and to where he's going to take us to.
I feel very odd standing next to these people because they're such a beautiful couple, aren't they? But I do praise you guys for your willingness to do this. I really, really, really do. And my prayer was that God would speak through your story. And in the way when I was reading what you gave me and I was praying, one thing that really resonated in my mind for all of us, if we trust our pedigree, where I grew up, if we trust mom and dad who brought me to church and all of that, if we hang on the coattails of anybody else but Jesus, we are mistaken. Amen. We are mistaken. Even if we trust in our denomination, even if we trust in this gorgeous church, we are totally mistaken. It is by the grace of Christ alone that we are saved. And we are saved by the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. And our destiny, because of his grace, because of Jesus' grace, our destiny is heaven. And that's that. And I pray to all of you, friends, visitors alike, if you've been coming in and out of church, trusting that my coming to church is what will make it right with God, wrong. Your coming to church must be because of Jesus. As they said, our works are the fruit of our salvation, not the cause of our salvation. They have found that. Allow me to pray as they stand. Father, I praise you and I thank you for your word that has reached Kathy and Gary. Your Holy Spirit that has opened their eyes to your things, to your grace, your mercy, to your finished work on the cross. I praise you and thank you that you have led them here. Oh God of mercies, I pray as a pastor and a fellow traveler with these guys, I pray, Almighty God, that I, as a pastor, will be faithful, not just in proclaiming your word, but in walking it. I pray that as fellow travelers, we will walk in your ways. Oh, when we stumble, oh God, bring us back to your ways. Speak to our hearts that we will humbly repent of our sins and be restored to a right place with you. Thank you so much, God, for all your goodness to us. Oh, your mercy abounds forever and ever, Lord God. All of this I pray with your saints in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, guys. Thank you very much. Now, with that in mind, we are going to remember in obedience. Can the ushers come up, please? In obedience to what God has commanded us to do on that Last Supper, we are going to remember his mercy and grace. His body broken and his blood shed for us.